you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Every Thursday, I'm joined on Air Talk by professional TV critics to review and discuss the newest cable TV, broadcast, and streaming series. With so much content available, we know it's hard to pick something to watch, and we're here to help. All right, let's meet this week's critics. Jen Chaney, TV critic for Vulture, also with us from Deadline, senior editor Dominic Patton. Jen, please tell us about this third season of Girls 5.
Oh, this is such a terrific show. So this is a big deal because the first two seasons of Girls 5 Eva were on Peacock, and then Peacock canceled it. Netflix swooped in and said, no, we'll take those two seasons and we'll also make a third season. So you can now watch the entire series on Netflix, and I hope that this means more people will discover it and love it because it's such a fun show. The four principals who you mentioned are fantastic. And the concept is they were in a all-girl pop group around the turn of the millennium, late 90s, early 2000s. And now in their 40s, they've decided to regroup and try to make a success of it again. And of course, they come into all kinds of obstacles. This season, they're on tour and every episode is in a different city. And they're trying to, you know, build an audience and hopefully get to do a really big gig in the finale. And it's just great, great fun. I just get so much joy from watching it.
Oh, that's great. Girls 5 Eva, season 3 on Netflix, as well as its preceding seasons that have been streaming on Peacock. The Girls on the Bus is streaming on Max, and it follows four women journalists who follow the every move of flawed presidential candidates on the campaign trail. It's a comedic drama. Dominic, what do you think of The Girls on the Bus?
Play on the famous 1972 book about the 1972 election, Boys on the Bus, that kind of really for the first time pulled back the veil on what really goes on with journalists covering presidential elections. This is based on former New York Times reporter Amy Chosek's 2018 book, Chasing Hillary, which she covered Hillary Clinton both in 2008 and in 2016, but respectively for the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. This is a fictional look at what with fictional politicians and fictional newspapers, a.k.a. The Sentinel, which takes place at the New York Times. But it is eminently watchable and gives you a real sense of both the drama and the banality that people go through, the, you know, eating bad food and hearing the same stump speeches over and over again. What's particularly interesting about Girls on the Bus, which was co-created with Julie Peck and is executive produced by Greg Berlanti and stars Melissa Boness, who many of you know as Supergirl, is it takes four different female journalists of four different backgrounds. So there's one who works for a New York Times-like paper. There's one who's an older journalist who's kind of a scoop machine. There's another journalist, a female journalist, who is an on-air person for what is a conservative slash right-wing network. And then there's another journalist who wouldn't even call herself a journalist, who's an influencer who has product placement and all sorts of things, and basically says print is dead and cable is for old people. That might be true, but Girls on the Bus can be a lot of fun for everyone.
And it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity for humor here. Is the satire well done?
I mean, it's very funny in parts. I will give no giveaway because the first two episodes have already debuted up on Max today of the 10 episode series. Hunter S. Thompson, or rather the ghost of Hunter S. Thompson, makes an appearance as kind of the inner voice, now again, to Melissa Boness's Sadie character. It's, you know, whether or not you're a friend of Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail, it is definitely a twist that makes you want to giggle.
We're talking about the Max streaming series, The Girls on the Bus. First two episodes, as Dominic just said, are out today. New episodes release every Thursday. Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, is a documentary miniseries which features interviews with former child actors, their parents, and members of the crew of a number of these kids' series that were hits in recent decades. Jen, please share with us what you thought of Quiet on Set.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, this is a four-part documentary series. The first two episodes premiere on Investigation Discovery on Sunday night, And the second two will premiere on Monday night, the following night. And I believe all of it will be streamable on Max as well. And it's really looking at the culture at Nickelodeon, particularly in the 2000s, the rise of Dan Schneider, who was really like a kingmaker at that network, who created shows for Amanda Bynes, for Drake Bell. You know, he was really behind a lot of their biggest shows and was, by all accounts, a pretty abusive boss, particularly to some women writers, and didn't conduct himself in the most appropriate way. But there were also other things going on amongst the staff at Nickelodeon. And you've probably seen some of the news stories ahead of this docuseries coming out about Drake Bell, who talks for the first time about the fact that he was sexually abused by a dialogue coach who worked on Nickelodeon and worked with a lot of kids. In fact, worked with Leonardo DiCaprio when he was on Growing Pains prior to that. So it's a tough thing to watch. And a lot of this information has been out in the public before, but seeing it all kind of encapsulated as part of one narrative, it's really, especially if you're an adult who grew up watching some of these shows, it's really shocking and sad that this happened.
It's premiering over two nights on Investigation Discovery, a cable channel that devotes itself to true crime documentaries. It's on 6 o'clock Pacific time, Sunday and Monday. Episodes will also be streaming on Max. Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. When we continue, we'll talk about Manhunt, a limited series, which is streaming on Apple TV Plus. Apples Never Fall, which is a mystery miniseries starring Annette Bening and Sam Neill on the Peacock streamer, and Three Body Problem, which is on Netflix. Those are to come. We'll hear what our critics have to say about them. Our critics are Dominic Patton, senior editor for Deadline, and Jen Chaney, TV critic for Vulture. Back in a minute.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Hi, this is Larry Mantle, and you're listening to Air Talk's TV Talk, a weekly review of the newest cable TV, broadcast, television, and streaming series. Let's get back to reviews. Our next television series to talk about is Manhunt, which is streaming on Apple TV Plus, starring Anthony Boyle and Tobias Menzies. Dominic, please tell us about it.
Well, to pick up on what we were talking about earlier, when Jen was talking about, this is a true crime drama. And by true crime, I mean one of the biggest crimes of all time, which is the assassination of Abraham Lincoln by John Wilkes Booth. Manhunt details the 12-day search and hunting down of John Wilkes Booth, who, by the way, was one of the most famous people of that era. He was an incredibly famous actor at the time. Tobias Menzies, who many of us know from, well, The Crown, if nothing else, plays Secretary of War Edwin Stanton. Spoiler alert, they don't look anything alike. Second spoiler alert, they capture John Wilkes Booth. So, having said that, this is really a story about America and the transition of America, because as there is this search for Booth, who is a vainglorious man who literally refuses the ability to escape to Mexico because he's such a symbol in Richmond, Virginia, by his own definition, this is an attempt at the last minute to rewrite the end of the Civil War. It's also an attempt to stop what became Reconstruction and the change of America. And that's part of what makes this so riveting. Even though you know the end, the process by which they get there, invent, you know, criminal forensic techniques that didn't even exist, that were literally invented on the run. There are some flaws with it. There are parts where you definitely wish the story would go a little deeper into some of the political content. But as a capture and a hunting capture, This is the ultimate Manhunt.
All right. Manhunt, which is a limited series streaming on Apple TV+. The first two episodes premiere tomorrow, and then new episodes after that appear on subsequent Fridays. On Peacock, the streaming miniseries Apples Never Fall, which stars Annette Bening and Sam Neill. There'll be a total of seven episodes in the miniseries. Jen, please tell us about Apples Never Fall.
So this is based on the novel of the same name by Leanne Moriarty, who also wrote Big Little Lies, which was a very successful limited series for HBO. Annette Bening and Sam Neill play a long married couple that have just sold the tennis academy that they own and where they used to coach, and they're seemingly enjoying retirement. And then Annette Bening's character suddenly goes missing, and none of the kids that they have together can find her. No one can get in touch with her. And it launches an investigation into what's really going on. Of course, Sam Neill's character becomes potential suspect. And so does a young woman who kind of moves in with the couple at one point. So it's really, it's a mystery. And there are some really great performances in here, not only from, you know, Bening and Neill, but Alison Brie, who plays one of the daughters, is really terrific. I just think the writing of this is not up to par with what the cast is able to give. So it's a little hackneyed, a little unintentionally laughable in moments. Nevertheless, Larry, I want to know what happened to Annette Bening. So when you start watching this, you cannot help but kind of keep going. All of the episodes dropped at once today, so you can binge it all in 7 hours if that's your thing.
All right, all seven episodes. So is Annette Bening such a great actor, and of course Oscar nominated for playing Diana Nyad in the biopic Nyad, is she then gone from a number of the episodes? Or would that spoil it if you answer that question?
No, that's actually a great question. Thank you for asking that. There's a lot of flashbacks to what happened prior to when she disappeared that you're trying to piece together all the secrets in the family. So she is very present in the narrative, even though she is technically missing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, because to me, one of the big reasons to watch is her. So,
yeah,
so that's
for sure.
Great to know she's very present in it. Apples Never Fall, streaming on Peacock, all seven episodes premiering today. And on Netflix, from part of the creative team of Game of Thrones, Three Body Problem, a fantasy drama. Dominic.
Well, this is based on the award-winning Chinese novel of the similar name that deals with an alien invasion of Earth that is going to be coming in 400 years. It's a very global drama going from Cultural Revolution China to somewhat modern-day England to the United Nations and various others. The problem is Three Body Problem has a problem. It's, as I said in my review on Deadline this weekend when it premiered at the South by Southwest Festival, it's pedestrian where it needs to be epic. For all the money that went into this, we've heard rumors that it's like $20 million, and it debuts next week on Netflix with all the episodes. Clearly a multi-season buy, but like the stories about the Game of Thrones guys with their pilot episode that HBO had to completely reshoot at the time, this feels like they needed another swing at it. Three Body Problem is a very complex show with philosophical designs as well as geopolitical designs as well as just, you know, an alien invasion. And let's also be clear, there's a lot of those shows out there right now, a lot of them on all the streamers, including Netflix. This one does not distinguish itself. And that is the biggest problem of all, the Three Body Problem.
All right. And when you say not distinguish itself, is it just you feel like you've seen a lot of this stuff in other films and series or just the story's not compelling enough?
I think there's two things, Larry. One, the story is very complicated, and you have to give them props for taking an even more complicated story and trying to adapt it as they did. They moved some things around for a global audience. In the process, they kind of bleached a lot of stuff. And so what happens is the most interesting parts of the book, which I've read most of, are left out. But secondly, you just kind of feel like, hold on, I know how this ends. You know, I know where this goes. I know how these invasion movies work. I know there's the cynic. I know there's the optimist. For some reason, in all these movies, I never know why, the United Nations is way more powerful than it is in real life. And I feel like the tropes overwhelm the tale.
All right. Three Body Problem. Next Thursday, all eight episodes are released on Netflix. It's from the creative team of David Benioff, D.B. Weiss, and Alexander Wu, who co-created Game of Thrones. And just in closing, I want to hearken back to earlier this hour, our conversation about ghost cable networks. Dominic, do you have a cable network that you miss, what it was like in its early days?
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you the blood truth. I hope you don't mind it. It's a ghost of, it's more like a zombie cable network, which is MTV.
Yeah.
Because I'm old enough to remember when MTV really was, especially MTV News before the internet and what have you, it really gave you an insight into your favorite artists. You know, you waited, even though you waited for 3 hours to watch one decent video and then watch a ton of crap ones. That was something that was really a part of our lives, a cultural force. The MTV of today, I mean, you know, everybody ages, some of us not so gracefully.
Yeah, ridiculousness over and over. Hey, thank you so much, Dominic Patton, senior editor of Deadline, Jen Chaney, TV critic for Vulture. I want to take this moment to thank our incredible AirTalk production team. They are simply the best, completely dedicated, day after day, coming up with the finest guests for you. Every day they come to work with you in mind to come up with the strongest segments possible, and I'm deeply indebted to them. It's an honor to work on this team. I hope you enjoyed this episode of AirTalk's TV Talk from LAist 89.3. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.